Was it Mr. Rogers that said, in difficult times, always look for the helpers? Yeah. So whether we are in good times or we in difficult times, we are called to be helpers, where God helps us first and we are able to help others. I invite you now to prepare to hear Holy Scripture, which is very brief this morning. Join me in our prayer of illumination. Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as the Scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. So our first scripture reference is from the book of Genesis, from the first chapter, verse 27. If you were here last week, you may be aware that I read the entire chapter of Genesis, the first chapter, in reading of the creation narrative. But let us focus in on verse 27. So God created humankind in God's image. In the image of God, God created them. Male and female, God created them. And then our epistle reference is from Colossians chapter 3, verse 23. Hear now these words. Whatever your task, put yourselves into it, as done for the Lord and not for your masters. Friends, these are the words of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious and holy God, we continue in this season of exploring saving grace to wrestle with a topic that oftentimes leads us uncomfortable, and that is in regards to finances. So today, as we hear how it is to be faithful in our earning, open these scriptures to us, that we may have open ears, open hearts to hear what you would have us hear this day. That the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts will be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. And all God's people said, amen. So part of our journey for the next through October, end of October, is through this resource of saving grace, where we are spending intentional time as a community to wrestle with a topic that Jesus talks about a lot in Scripture. And I give thanks for Philip, who shared this reflection that was in his reading this morning. Is that correct, Philip? In preparation for doing small group study to kind of dig a little bit deeper. Last week, if you recall, I shared the creation narrative from the entirety of the book, first chapter of Genesis. And there are some themes as it relates to stewardship, as it relates to finances, that are important to remember. And I give thanks for these words by Reuben Job, who points us to that the three Old Testament themes point to the fullness and richness of shalom as a possibility for what we were created. So what is the definition of shalom? Well, shalom is the Hebrew spelling of the general Semitic term for peace, wholeness, well-being. It describes the ideal human state both individually and communally. It is the ultimate gift from God, meaning that God has created us to be in this ideal relationship and at peace with how we have been created in the image of God. And there are three things that we must remember as it relates to stewardship, that we are called to be stewards over all that God has made, meaning that we don't own it, we are not to abuse it, but we are called to take care of it. That we are created in the image of God, and for that in and of itself means that our worth comes from that, being beloved children of God, not from what we do, not from what we earn, not from what we save. But our value, our worth, is found in the fact that we were created in the divine image of God. Second, we are to remember from this creation narrative the goodness of creation. Every day God created, and what did God say? It was good. Meaning that everything that God creates is good, and there is goodness to be found in it, and there is goodness and fullness of life to be found as well. The last theme that we come from the Old Testament is the fact that in this idea of peace in creation, we are all related. That we are not beings of self-sufficiency. We were created to be in relationship to God and to one another. And that is so important as it relates to our community as a community of faith and growing. So I think that was a beautiful summarization of last week's emphasis of what does it mean to find our value as beings created in the image of God and as this community of faith as we talk about finances. And today we're going to talk about earning. Ugh. I know personally it's like I work and I work and I always feel like I don't have enough. Anybody else feel like that? Yeah. And so here we are today really kind of focusing in on what it means to earn and to do it in a faithful way. And there are two sermons that kind of beautifully connect that John Wesley wrote. I have all of John Wesley's works on my iPad that I can read, his old English sermons, and really kind of dig into those old words and try to figure out what he was saying. But Sermon 50 is really about his emphasis on money. If you remember, and maybe I will remind you that last week, that we hear scripture that says that money is the root of all evil, that you cannot serve both God and money. For you will love one and not the other, which means that we need to form a different relationship to this idea of money and what its purpose and intent is for our life. We need money to live, but it is not to be the sole priority of our lives, that our value is found in God. And so John Wesley comes up with three, his sermon is on money, comes up with three simple money rules. Does anybody remember the three simple rules from John Wesley that aren't attached to money? The first is do no harm. The second is do good. And the third is stay attuned to the ordinances of God or stay in love with God, right? And we always want to say, well, we need to put them in reverse order, right? Stay attuned to God, and that will help us to do good and to do no harm. But with it flipped like that, it actually leads into a much clearer understanding of John Wesley's emphasis on holiness of life, both individually and as community. But his sermon, number 50, on money, also has three rules. For whatever reason, J-Dubs loved three rules. And the first is earn all you can. The second is save all you can. And the third is give all you can. Recognizing that there is this source of, well, we need to have it to begin with, and then we need to be good stewards over what it is that we have. And there's this beautiful resource that was published by John Harnish called, of course, now I'm not going to be able to find it on my iPad because I opened it up on my phone. But it's a stewardship series that is based on earn, save, and give, right? If we focus in on what John Wesley focuses us on, then we are able to do that. And so we are focusing in on that very first part of earning. So I want to recognize that we are all in different stages of life, right? So I'm looking at my college person that you are now, right now, being instructed in college with the hopes that what? You will be. Right. And then once you do that, then you hope to be gainfully employed. right? That's the hope, right? So we recognize that we're going to school with the idea that we will be able to procure ourselves a job in order to be able to sustain ourselves in living and all of that, and maybe have a little bit more freedom than we do right now. Would that be fair? Okay. All right. So that's where we are. And I'm looking over here and I'm just thinking, you're still, you know, in school. That's like far off, right? But the big sister is thinking about colleges, which means she's even a step earlier than where Elise is right now, right? So she's having to think about, well, what do I want to be when I grow up? Here's the question. What do y'all want to be when you grow up? Do y'all know? Happy. Okay, I can take that. A zookeeper? Seriously? I think you still have possibility to do that. That would be awesome. I, even though I'm standing here, still try to figure out what I want to be when I grow up, right? Because I think it's an evolving process, and I realize I'm stepping out of camera view, so I'm going to come back over here and stay in place. Bob's shaking his head. Yeah. Then I recognize that there are those who are employed right now, right? That you've been working a job, and I suspect that's good portion of this, but my question for you is, what you're doing now, is that what you went to college to do? Well, yes for you, because very specific. How about you, Janet? Okay, clarify. Second time I went to college, which is my story, right? Because I'm not doing what my first college experience gave me. I am doing what my second college experience gave me, which means I still don't know what I want to be when I grow up. I didn't then. I still don't, right? But sometimes we go to college thinking, oh, this is a skill that I'll be able to do and be able to be employed. And then we get into the workforce and we realize, oh, my goodness, this is not what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. Am I right? And then we're figuring it out of, so what does this mean? And then I also recognize that sometimes you may be employed and then maybe you get laid off. Or you have to change jobs because your job is being written out of the corporate structure. Or you have to take a new job because maybe your partner has to relocate for whatever reason. But then there's this shift that happens, right? But the need to earn, does it ever go away? No. Even through all of those transitions, the need to earn, to live, never goes away. And then let's say you had either one really long, successful career. Do I have any of those who went into one line of work and stayed and retired out of that? Brenda, yes, you too. How is that? Like, you started in one job and you walked out X amount of years later, retired. How was that? It was fun. It was fun. And now you're retired, right? But your retired living looks a lot different than your employed living, right? Meaning that you had to work all of these years in order to earn your retirement fund, which is probably significantly less than what you would make if you were employed in your job. Am I right? Yeah. So wherever you are, your need to live never goes away. You have to earn in order to meet your basic needs, your priority, right? And there are some very specific priorities that you need to be housed, you need to eat, you need to be clothed, you need to be taken care of, like your health and well-being, right? And so sometimes I wonder if we do a really good job with all of those. You know what I mean? So personal story. In my previous relationship, went through some financial transitions. One, at the time that I decided to go to divinity school, we went from double income to a single income. Not the first time. Went to single income when I chose to be at home with my babies. But we never adjusted our living to match our earning. And I'm still feeling the consequences to that. So after divinity school and being employed in the life of the church, I was in a new appointment, and within 3 months, my ex-husband was laid off from his job, and he was the primary earner. He was the one that provided health insurance for our family. I can tell you that it turned our world and our children's world upside down. We had to make some really difficult decisions, to sell a house, to move into a parsonage, to cut back, to sell, to whatever it is that needed to happen in order just to survive. And sometimes I feel that's where our world is just trying to survive. Thankfully, I'm in a different place today than I was then, but the trauma of that experience never goes away. And I give thanks for a partner here who promises to walk in that with me every day moving forward. But it gave me an appreciation of, what does it mean to earn? What does it mean to have enough to live? When I took a year of absence from the church, I thought, I'll be able to take 3 months sabbatical, because I thought I had it taken care of. Until the health insurance premium came in. Anyone want to take a guess what it cost me to maintain health insurance for my family? $2,200. Let me say that louder. $2,200. Health insurance costs more than a mortgage payment. Which meant that my idea of sabbatical was out the window. And I told y'all last week about the gig economy. Oh my goodness, did I do that. Wherever I could scrape by to earn enough money, and my priority was simply to survive. Feed my kids, house my kids, provide health insurance for my kids to keep some semblance of things going. But it didn't matter how hard I worked, I never felt like I earned enough. There was always another need I didn't anticipate. There was always something else happened, like a car breaks down. Oh my gosh, my kid had a flat tire and then drove his car, which then led to $1,500 worth of repairs. I'm like, are you kidding me? Right? So what does that mean about us today in terms of our earnings? It calls us to really put the priority of why we're doing what we do. John Wesley says, earn all you can, make sure your basic needs are met, and not at the expense of the world or the community around you, or at your own expense, right? That means be gainfully employed. Do something that will fulfill your needs for social interaction, for financial implications, whatever it is. And then live within those means. Because let me just throw this out there. How many of you anticipate like a raise every year? You get your performance review and then you get a raise. And how quickly that raise disappears because you grow into that. Or how many of you are fortunate enough to have jobs, employment that has given you cost of living adjustments? Yeah? And how you live into that? So then it perpetuates this idea that I need to have more because my living is growing into that, and then sometimes it just leaves into a vacuum, right? So our earning is supposed to be gainfully done to our own well-being and for those around us, and not to the detriment of others. So let's not gain our wealth or our income by nefarious ways. Does that make sense? Yeah. And then the part of the earning is, your earnings does not determine your value. your worth. Does that make sense? So seeking the next job promotion or seeking the next pay raise or the next climb up the corporate ladder does not determine your value in the eyes of God. Where does your value come from? From the simple fact that you were created in the divine image of God. You are already beloved. And that stands in contradiction to the consumer culture that says, get all you can, hold on to all you can, and to heck with how you get there, which is not what God asks of us. Can I get an amen? So earning is never hard, and so I invite you to think about where you are. I can only tell you that working in customer service and seeing people have to make choices between prescription medications and a gallon of milk is heart-wrenching. Or that they come to get a money order and they're paying $2,200 for rent. Are you kidding me? I struggle with this because I realize that my own kid who is now employed, you know, yeah, he could probably survive because he's now earning a living wage. But to find all the places where he could live affordably doesn't exist. Being able to find groceries, harder to do. Affordable health insurance, don't even get me started. Do you know what I mean? So here, let me ask you this. What do you think the current living wage would be if you were to go out and be paid an hourly rate? What do you think would be what you would need to earn? Any idea? $46,000. What would that equate to hourly wage, you think, Jeremy? About $23. $23, $22, $23. I think the minimum is $18 to $20 to have like just basic minimum. But where we are right now, that's not feasible. So imagine that. What jobs do you know that pay $23 an hour? Shh. Yes, Apple Tech Support does, but not everything does, right? So then we're in this conundrum. So then we're called, how do we earn all that we can? It pushes us to consider how we are to work collaboratively and cooperatively get together for the betterment of all. And that is what God calls us to. So, your homework, should you choose to accept it, and know this message will not self-destruct in 5 seconds, because I'd like to still be here with y'all next week, is to really think about where you are. To say, am I doing my earnings because I'm working for somebody else in a grind culture, or am I working so that my basic needs are met so that I can be a good steward of what God has gifted to me? That's all I'm asking y'all to do. Do you think you could do that for me? So let's pray. Gracious and holy God, there are so many places in our lives where we need you to intercede. Sometimes we find ourselves employed well with stability and comfort and knowledge, and there are other times where we feel that we are underemployed or unemployed and we do not know how our needs will be met. You call us to a life of faith, of being mindful of what you have entrusted into our care, and that includes our gifts and our abilities within our body to work, to serve, and to earn well. Help us find those ways that if we are not able to do that, we are able to support others to do the same. That we are pushed out of self-sufficiency, if I can do this on my own, and into relationship and community, both with you, God, and with each other. For where one suffers, we all suffer. For where one gains, we all gain. And at the bottom of all of this is that our worth and well-being is not dependent on how much we can and do. Rather, it is found solely in you. God, open our eyes to see your blessings every day. God, open our eyes to see those places of need. Open our hearts to serve you well and care for those things that you have gifted to us. For in so doing, we glorify you and demonstrate a faith in you and in our community, trusting that we do not walk this life alone. This is true because of your saving grace, for which we give thanks and appreciate. And we pray this in the name of your Son, Jesus, and all God's people said.